305, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is, no, it's not that. It's Friday Eve is what it is. Don't use that T word here. We all know what it is, but shh. No. It is Friday Eve. That's my point. We're doing well. Doing well. What else? Oh, yeah, we got a few things going on. We got Brian Maloney, who is going to be coming up in a couple of moments here. We've got Michael Harrison, the publisher of Talkers Magazine, because Michael continues the hard work to keep radio writ large alive, and particularly a mission involving AM radio. We got Troy Miller joining us from National Religious Broadcasters. He's the president there. Same issue. We all thought that, well, we'd all come to an agreement, AM radio stays in cars, we're all going to be safe, etc., and once again, there are problems. And right in the middle of it, man, we're going to talk a little bit about the Squirrels, because the Squirrels only have, 25 games left this season? Something like that. It's going to be the last season, of course, over at the Diamond. We got CarMax Park, right? Is that next year it opens, or is it the year after? I don't know. I could be getting all emotional about the last game of the Diamond, and then somebody's going to say, you know, Jeff, they got two seasons left. Lighten up, bud. But we'll find out. They got some really cool throwback retro merch, and I got to get me some of this stuff. It's really cool stuff. Did you hear the little snippet right at the end of the Dana thing there, the Dana program? This is a, how do I describe it? Respected, highly regarded, real reporter, and serious journalist, CBS national news correspondent Scott McFarlane, and not the good McFarlane who makes the Family Guy stuff. This is the other McFarlane, and he joined former Meet the Press hack, Chuck Todd, on his podcast. What do they call that? The Upchuck? No? Chuck You? I don't know. Whatever they call it, because I'm not listening to it. But I found this little piece, and I want to share it with you. We got to do it right out of the gate. So I will pay tribute to my friend Jeremy, who got it, ready to roll. Not a moment's hesitation there. Great stuff, Jerm. And I would say to you, Jeremy, please, on your way out the door this evening, please take a little something out of petty cash. You got to find the petty cash first. That is true. But yeah, once you find it, take a little something. Go ahead. Let me hear this.
For those of us there, it was such a horror because you saw an emerging America. And it wasn't the shooting, Chuck. This was, I got diagnosed with PTSD within 48 hours. I got put on trauma leave, not because I think of the shooting, but because you saw it in the eyes, the reaction of the people. They were coming for us.
Well, Mr. McFarlane, that is either a complete and total fabrication on your part, or you should go and ask for your money back from whoever it was that, as you claim, diagnosed you with PTSD within 48 hours. Now, you may have had a very bad experience. And if you did, I'm sorry. I'm a decent human being. I'm sorry to hear that you felt threatened or uncomfortable. What's the new buzzword? Vulnerable. Oh, people are vulnerable. Uh-huh. You know, back in the day, which I know anybody who is younger than 60, I read, finds annoying when people say, you know, back in the day, because it does sound like your grandfather, and I'm not anybody's grandfather, but I am going to tell you, back in the day, vulnerable meant that you were playing baseball and you forgot to wear your cup. Oh, you were vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Oh, line drive, right down the middle, ouch. nowadays, it seems like anybody who sees rain instead of sun or a dog instead of a cat or hears a word, they, well, I'm vulnerable and I feel like I, you know, oh, God, take a lap, kiddo. Rub some dirt on it. But I digress. So, Mr. McFarlane, back to you. You are a real famous public figure. CBS national news correspondent. So people believe in you, they trust you, they care about you. But when you sit and say that you were diagnosed with PTSD within 48 hours, I am left with only one of two options. Nope, you know what? I'm going to add a third one in there because I don't know him. Maybe, although I listened to the whole clip and I'm thinking I definitely know the context, but I don't know him. So maybe he just, I suppose, possibly screwed it up. But that would be option number one, that you're telling Chuck Todd and his dozens of listeners, hey, I was diagnosed with PTSD within 48 hours. And maybe you misunderstood. Maybe that's what you really believe. Or you know that you were not diagnosed with PTSD within 48 hours, but you don't care and you are telling Chuck Todd that you were diagnosed with PTSD because that's your story and you've decided that's a good story. Or option number three, you were in fact, quote, diagnosed with PTSD within 48 hours by someone who told you you had PTSD and they did it within 48 hours, in which case, again, I would say you need to go back to your clinician and request a complete and total refund of whatever money was paid to them. I mentioned the DSM-5. You familiar with the DSM? Anybody? Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. The fifth edition published by the American Psychiatric Association. It is the latest edition. One of the few things that I have held on to since collegiate times was a copy of the DSM. And they don't come out with these every week, by the way. But the DSM-5 is, in fact, the book. If you are involved in counseling, psychology, psychiatry, social work, you are going to have a familiarity with the DSM. You are going to have either a physical copy, and by the way, they ain't cheap. $100 or more, I think, at this point. I don't know, maybe they got like the paper ones, you know, paper cover. Soft cover, but it's not a cheap book. But I am here to tell you that anyone who is going to seek any sort of counseling or therapy, your clinician, your provider, will have a copy of the DSM-5. Period. End of story. Some might say, well, I have it via a particular website. Maybe it's a special website. That's fine. But they will still have it and they will still be using it. And it's not that often that I actually know something about something, but I actually know something about something in this case. And I know what PTSD is, and I know what PTSD is not. One of the things that I have become very familiar with through the years as a police peer counselor is PTSD. It is something that I really honestly know a thing about. And I know people who actually have PTSD. I know people who do not have PTSD. There are far more people who do not have PTSD than people who do have PTSD. Even with that, there are people who are having a tough way to go. There are people who have experienced trauma. But that doesn't make it PTSD. I know popular culture now, everybody seems to think that everything is PTSD. You know, I was thinking about this. I have PTSD. No, you don't. Unless you can meet the criteria set out in the DSM-5. I promise I will not sound like a professor. But in a moment, I'm actually going to share with you the legit criteria for PTSD directly from the DSM-5. And that will show to you why I have such a concern and a real degree of being puzzled by Mr. McFarland on the Mr. Todd cast. He claims he was diagnosed with PTSD within 48 hours. Then he says he was placed on trauma leave. Well, trauma and trauma leave, that's subject to interpretation, right? That's a, hey, your mileage may vary kind of thing. Maybe CBS News says, what? You heard a word you didn't like? Well, by all means, we are dispatching the cuddle puppies. You are now on trauma leave. Maybe. I don't know. But what I can tell you is that there is absolutely, positively no way that he was diagnosed with PTSD within 48 hours. It is 316 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 321 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. All right, students, get ready to write a few things down. How can you show that someone is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder? Number one, exposure to trauma. Have you been exposed to death, threatened death, serious injury, or sexual violence? All right, I'm going to give Mr. McFarland that one. Intrusion symptoms. Are you having recurrent, involuntary dreams or memories? Are you having flashbacks where you feel as if the event is happening? Are you suffering from intense or prolonged psychological distress? Avoidance symptoms. Are you trying to avoid the memories, thoughts, or feelings? Are you trying to avoid external reminders? Negative alterations in cognition and mood. At least two of these must be present. Marked alterations in arousal and reactivity. At least two of these must be present. And number six, out of the list of eight, duration, classified as criterion F, as in Frank. The symptoms must be present for more than 1 month. The symptoms must be present for more than 1 month. So riddle me this, Dr. Batman. How did you get diagnosed with PTSD in less than 48 hours? 325, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 335, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. I'm just taking a moment here before we get to Brian Maloney to respond to 804. 804, all caps. I don't know if he's angry or he just doesn't know how to, uncap his caps. I have no idea. But 804 says, the Katz radio show is becoming stale. Maybe it's time to retire. Now, you may be thinking, well, you can respond, Jeff, but don't be angry, don't be nasty. Well, here's my response. I'm going to share it with you the same way I'm sharing it with him. Retire, question mark. Yeah, sounds good to me. LOL, beach, ocean, cool drinks, and pineapples. Thanks for listening, Jeff. There you go. Now, I'm not retiring that I'm aware of, but this poor guy at least gets a response. And you think he feels better, Germ? You think at the end of the day he goes, oh, look, that guy's not retiring. He's just a jerk. Well, I'll take that one. Brian Maloney, That's a bad segue because I said the guy is just a jerk. I'm not talking about Maloney. No, Maloney's a good guy. He's always been a good guy. He is the radio equalizer, the television equalizer, the newspaper equalizer, the media equalizer. Brian, thank you for being here.
Oh, I don't even know how to respond to any of that. But don't retire, Jeff. No,
you don't want your Thursday afternoons to open up that much, do you?
Yeah, exactly. So tell him that you're not going anywhere. But, you didn't have to read that on the air. But, I think it shows it's a good thing that you did read it. It's like you're not afraid of it.
Oh, gosh,
right?
No. Oh, come on, please. Tell me how much you hate me. I'm going to move you right to the top of the list. That's great. Fantastic. I've been married for 105 years, whatever it is. I've heard this stuff before. I got to ask you something, Mr. Maloney. I put together a little list, and I just want you to hit back. Last night, we took away billions of dollars, right? NPR, PBS, foreign aid for people who hate us. Our border is closed. Retail sales are up. Department of Education is in the process of being shut down as much as it can. Had an actual budget surplus last month. Jobs numbers, job growth occurred exclusively in the private sector, not government. Gas prices are down. That's the first 6 months. Now, you and I sometimes think, well, President Trump could do this or he should do that. Is there anything that he's not doing that, he should be doing?
Yeah, so his presidency in terms of policy is a success. It's a major success. Mm-hmm. But in terms of messaging, it's not a success right now. And that's the difference. So in terms of substance, in terms of policy, he's getting things done. Has he gotten done all the things he wanted to? No, but I mean, Washington's broken, so you just get done as much as you can.
Right.
And he's fighting for it. He really is. But again, the messaging is bad, and that's what needs to be fixed. So we've talked about it before, but it's become so much worse over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. In fact, even just since I was on with you, because you bumped me for the governor last week.
Oh, so. You didn't take that personally, did you?
No. I just thought you could tell the governor the next time, he wants to just call in, he can do it on another time, But
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Maloney, are you an 804 texter telling me to retire? Is that what this is? No. Okay.
All right, but the point being that in terms of messaging, Trump has really gone downhill because he's doing something that violates one of the first rules that I learned in broadcasting a million years ago, and I'm sure you did because we were both starting around the same time 30-plus years ago in this business, and one of the first things I learned was never turn against your audience, never. Never turn on them. And Trump has turned against MAGA and America First vocally, repeatedly over the last week or two. And it's bad. It's bad. He's sending his own supporters running. And it is so unnecessary. And, the flip side of this is, okay, so these Democrats in the Senate, like Cory Booker, some of these clowns that are screaming today that, I want those Epstein files. Where were you the last 4 years when we could have released them then? But you didn't want anything to do with it then. So they're as phony and transparent as possible.
Right.
But at the same time, Trump and this, nothing to see here. Move on. In fact, to the point where he's saying, yesterday and today, just kind of like saying, I don't want you as my supporter anymore. Do you think we should push ahead with this? And, it's essentially what he was saying. That is, I don't even have a word for that.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been involved with Trump in the political arena in this way for 10 years now. The modern Trump era began about 10 years ago.
Yep.
And there has never been a moment like that in 10 years. Never. Not even close, Jeff. So And they're saying then Trump must be in there somewhere. If Trump was in there, we would have known about it years and years ago. Exactly. So there's somebody else being protected that's in there that will be embarrassing to the White House. I don't know who it is, but this is being handled poorly. I give this one an F.
Wow. Okay. Is there, well, how do you handle it then? If the president says, look, this is over. I know we said there was something there. We've looked at it. Hey, listen, there's really nothing there. Let's move on with stuff. We're cutting taxes. We're growing jobs, blah, blah, blah. Is that enough? Or is there some other message? Because you said, again, this is messaging and communication with his very, very, very basic core of supporters. I think you and I are in that very basic core of supporters. What else does he say? Or does he just say, you know what, well, I'm not going to talk about it or talk to Pam Bondi or Dan Bongino. You know, they got it. They said there's nothing there. Let's move on. What does he do?
I think you release the files and take the hit. Whatever is in there, you release it. And just because what he's doing right now looks like a cover-up, and it's worse. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, what I want to know is, if there were never any Epstein files, now, what was in those binders they passed around to the influencers that day? Remember that, those white binders passed around to the influencers that day that said the Epstein files? I never really saw what was in there. Did you? I don't know. Were they blank pieces of paper? I don't know.
I don't know either. I do remember that image, and I thought, oh, that's an interesting one. This will be interesting as we move down the line. And you're right, then nothing's coming. See, here's the weird thing from my perspective, Brian, and I've listened to a lot from Alan Dershowitz. Remember, Dershowitz was one of the lawyers involved. The Epstein's last lawyer is now coming out and speaking. And I think there's some essence of truth here where they say, hey, there's not, quote, a list, right? I mean, he was a pervert and a degenerate and a smart guy, even though he was sick and twisted and vile and a horrible human being. So he knew who he was providing these girls for. He didn't necessarily have to put it down in a spreadsheet. So I get that. I don't know. I just...
Well, are we asking about his personal files, or are we asking about the FBI's files related to Jeffrey Epstein, or are we talking about both? You know, and I think we're talking about both. Writings of Epstein's, and he was so much more intertwined with everyone in Washington on both sides than anyone will ever want to admit. You know, this guy, his whole career was, I mean, it's just baffling. Baffling.
Yeah, just an absolute a scumbag of epic proportions. But, you know, as you're pointing out, an equal opportunity scumbag for other scumbags, regardless of their party affiliation. All right. So is this one of those things, Brian? And let me remind everybody, Brian Maloney, the media equalizer, is with us. Brian is all about the effective messaging and taking policy that needs to be enacted and really getting stuff to go. And by the way, the vote woman, I forgot her name. I'm sorry. The woman you gave to us, sent on to us with about the...
Oh, yes, Marley Hornick. I'm glad you were able to have her on your show.
She was great. She was great. Don't take it personally. We bumped the governor so that we could have her on, but...
no, I got to tell you, if we still have a second, Jeff, that I'm going to be in Washington with her on Tuesday, and we are having a press conference at the National Press Club Tuesday at 1 p.m., and we are going to be announcing some big stuff. And that's why I wanted Marley to be on your show, and hopefully she'll be on again so that she can bring you up to date on what we do in D.C. But we are going to be suing Letitia James for elections law violations. And we're also announcing a new effort to free Tina Peters in Colorado and releasing voter data, a whole bunch of shady, fishy stuff that's going on in about 30 states, of which Virginia is one. The Virginia data is actually, and I hope that she got a chance to tell you about the Virginia data.
She did?
Oh, good, because there's some whoppers in there, just some wild stuff.
Well, okay, so a couple of things then. Make sure you send me all the info that comes out of this National Press Club.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Press conference, because I want to share it. I want to use it on the air. Obviously, I want to get you back and her to talk about it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's great stuff. This is excellent. Brian, do me a favor. Do everyone a favor. Remind them where they can follow you, what the best way is to see what you're doing.
Well, yeah, and why don't I throw in the website for that group, too, regarding the Tuesday press conference that we're doing now. That is Unite for Freedom, but it's just Unite number four freedom. So Unite for Freedom, number four, not the word four.
Okay.
UniteForFreedom.com. And then on Facebook, for me, it is Facebook.com/Media Equalizer, one word, that's Media Equalizer, or Red Wave America.
I love it. Brian, I do always appreciate you being here. I value your input. You're a great guy, a talent like very few others. And I will look forward to sort of poking in virtually, I hope, on Tuesday, and then sharing that with everybody and getting you and Marley back to talk about it. You're a good man. Thank you. That is Brian Maloney, the Media Equalizer. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:52, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. We've got a lot of stuff we got to mention. Gosh, I think I forgot to mention some of this stuff. John Fogerty is going to be at Atlantic Union Bank after hours, and he is going to be there on August the 1st. Well, did I say Friday, Eve? All right, fine. So I'm thinking about the weekend. What do you want from me? Here we are. We're on a roll. This is going to be the best show ever. Absolutely perfect. And then, you know who screwed it up? Jeremy, by pointing out that I said Friday Eve. Or Saturday. No, it is Friday Eve. Wait a minute. It is Friday. All right, forget about it. It's Friday Eve. I'm sticking with what I said there, Germ. Had too many tomatoes on your end or something. Anyway, John Fogerty is going to be coming to the Atlantic Union Bank After Hours Concert Series. That's Meadow Event Park in Doswell. That is going to happen at, on August the 1st. And I want to give you the chance to win a pair of tickets. So I'm looking at this here little rundown thingamajig. You're going to have to stick around for a while. Let me say 5:45. I'm going to say 5:45-ish. You know how I sometimes throw the ish in there. But yeah, somewhere around there. Somewhere between 5:40 and 5:50. I'll give you the chance to win a pair of tickets to go and see John Fogerty at the Atlantic Union Bank After Hours Concert Series, Meadow Event Park in Doswell. And Jeremy, I'm just going to give you a heads up here because you decided to, interrupt and mess up my entire presentation. John Fogerty is 80 years old. So the caller number we'll be looking for, I believe, will be 80. Good luck to you. Hope you packed a sandwich. While we're harassing Jeremy, which, let's not kid ourselves. Actually, it's a great thing to do. It's fun. I have the duty to remind you that the Jeff Katz Show could, in fact, be named the best afternoon radio show this year. But I am going to need your help. So if you take a look at your watch, you will see that it is vote o'clock. Now is the time for you to text the number 100 to 804-430-5505. Again, you're going to text 100 to this number, 804-430-5505. Please text 100 to this number, 804-430-5505. Yes, in fact, I have it up on socials. So if you're driving and you couldn't quite get the number, that's fine. But I like the fact that the Richmond Times-Dispatch gave me number 100 this year. And I don't know why, but what a great tie-in. Because here, WRVA, we're getting ready to celebrate our 100th anniversary. And even though I'm not a numbers person, not a math person, I'm looking at it and thinking, wow, I have been part of News Radio WRVA for 13% of its entire existence. You're right. It is the finest 13%. I wasn't going to mention that, but text 100. That's the number to text, all right? Text the number 100 to this phone number, 804-430-5505. 356, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.